Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Mully and Hall. Live and local, Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
And the 2-2 on the way. Bodie will hit a fly ball right field. Cubs, you're going to win the ball game. They sweep the doubleheader. A fly ball over the head of Mookie Betts in right field. It landed near the warning track, and the Cubs have won the second game by the score of 4-3. And they sweep the doubleheader, and all of the Cubs are out congratulating David Bodie out near second base. Big day, big win for the Chicago Cubs.
1-2 on the ground, Tim Anderson. The Sox have shut out mighty Cincinnati's bats, and 9-0 the final score on Dylan Cease night at Great American Ballpark.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Our thanks to the fine folks at WSCR for the Cubs' final call there. Those people are givers. And NBC Sports Chicago, thanks to them for the White Sox final call. You heard Jason Benetti celebrating Dylan Cease night. And, you know, you got to say, he said against mighty Cincinnati. I got to be honest with you, David. When I turned on that game and when I was starting to watch it, I was thinking to myself, just my own little pregame run through, I was thinking, wow, we saw Dylan Cease's best game of the season, and it was the last time out, but it's significantly different because that was Detroit. Let's see what he can do against Cincinnati, because my God, we had just watched the Cubs against Cincinnati, and what was that game? 13-12, the one they lost there at the end?
Right.
That was in my head, and Castellanos was in my brain. And to see Dylan Cease be the dominant bat in that particular game was awesome.
Well, I think that reflected the way a lot of Sox fans and a lot of Chicago baseball fans were looking at it, because that was a lineup that just knocked the Cubs pitching staff around for 13 runs. And so Castellanos, and you go through the lineup, and Cease was outstanding. You know, he was the last time out against the Tigers, he had a shutout. He didn't give up a run. Same deal last night. In his last 13 innings now, Mully, he's only given up 4 hits, struck out 20 and walked 3. That shows you the kind of command that he has had, and that's a great sign for a pitching staff and a great sign for a team that needed a boost because of all the questions and concerns surrounding the Luis Robert injury. What are they going to do? Well, they're going to ride the pitching staff. And when Cease and Rodon are as good as they have been, you understand why there's still hope.
No question about it. The Score listener line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. 312-644-6767. Ron's on the south side. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Hey, Ron.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, John Heyman said yesterday, morning, he was trying to, you know, talk to Sox fans off the ledge. Well, you know what, Money? I came in, but I was still hanging around the ledge. I was peeking out the window. I came off the ledge last night. I kind of came in too because it was raining a little bit. But,
yeah.
But really, I came in after Brady hit the whole run, and I tell you, you know what? You all mentioned the upcoming series. I know Cap tackle today. But when the Sox are going into a series, I look at the matchups, the pitching matchups, I am beginning to feel, and I know we got to get the, you know, the Brayu and the offense going, some of the other guys, but when I look at these pitching matchups, I'm feeling pretty good that the White Sox can win the series. And that's that. If you win the series, you win the series and you can make it to the playoffs. But I tell you, that going into the season, guys, the one player I was really looking forward to watching was Dylan Cease. Really, and not even for this season. You know, just this is a guy that's going to be a part of the future pitching staff. So he looked good. So, guys, Murray, I think we off the ledge for right now. And
I love it, Ron.
Go Sox.
It was
thanks,
perfect
Ron.
Timing. Perfect
guys.
Time because the weather was bad, so you crawled back in. That's awesome. That is just hilarious.
Keuchel versus Sonny Gray today, Mully. As he points out, the pitching matchup would seem to favor the Sox. Sonny Gray struck out 11 in his last time out, but he does not have a victory yet this year. His ERA hovering around 6. It's an opportunity. And if you can win a series against the Reds after what you've been through and the kind of the adversity, that would be a hellacious effort on behalf of the White Sox to steal Tony's turf.
Yeah, it would be they're hell-bent on winning both games. Yeah, good to see Dallas Keuchel on the bump, and then they've got a day off. They can regroup and get ready for the big series against Kansas City, where you need to make a statement against them. And you got Carlos Rodon and Lance Lynn and Lucas Giolito starting those games in order, and that is something special. So it's fun to see it. I think – when we talk about the teams you're beating and how you're going through a different lineup, et cetera, it depends on the form of the opponent as well. So I thought Kansas City, they kind of built their lead in the division on maybe the easier schedule. So that's okay, but you got to take care of business there. Cincinnati, we've seen them score a lot of runs all year long, and they do have a powerful offense, and it was good to see what Dylan Cease could do in terms of shutting down the offense and also getting three hits. You know, I was following Christopher Kampka on Twitter last night because he's a great follow, but it's also fun to see some of these statistics over, you know, the last time and all that stuff. He said that that he's the first Sox pitcher to get three hits at the plate before allowing a hit since Ted Lyons. That was in 1925.
Ironically enough, La Russa was his manager too.
He said Dylan Cease, the first Sox pitcher with three hits through the fifth inning since Don World Series perfect game Larson in 1961 at
wow.
Washington. I mean, it's like every one of these statistics that came out of his hitting performance and pitching performance all dated back to early days of baseball or dated outside our lifetimes. Let's put it that way.
And yet I thought the most unusual little stat that I heard was that he had not faced live pitching in 7 years since 2014. He's 25 years old. Are you telling me that throughout the course of the minors and has he developed,
not
he never
once.
Faced a live pitcher once?
Yep.
How does that happen?
Amazing.
It is.
I think he, you know, he's in the American League. Well, he was in the National League. I don't know. That's a good question how
he
that
came
happened.
Up with the Cubs system. But anyway, and then at Vanderbilt, I suppose. But it very, very strange. But nobody's complaining. Dylan Cease was outstanding at the plate, on the mound. Mully, you know, the Sox, they responded well in day one to life without Luis Robert. They had to adjust the lineup. Luis Garcia's out there. Then they put Billy Hamilton out there. They signed the guy that you encouraged them to sign. I think that, what'd you do, get off the air and call Rick Hahn and say, Rick, you got to get Brian Goodwin because you just have to get him on the roster as you suggested?
You were the one, when we talked yesterday, you hit me with the idea that he had been a White Sox draftee, and I was like, what? They drafted him? He didn't sign with them.
No, but out of high school.
They drafted him out of high school. This is like Kyle Long.
In 2009, the 17th round, he was a 17th rounder out of Rocky Mountain High School in Rocky Mount High School in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. And then a year later, a couple years later, he was taken by the Nationals in the first round in the 34th overall. He has been, Mully, he's well-traveled. So since 2018, this is his sixth team. I don't know what kind of long-term solution this is, but it is a veteran that gives you some options if he's able to, you know, adjust quickly. And that's all they're looking for right now, while they buy themselves some time to figure out what to do long-term.
Yeah, he's in the minor leagues, right? It's a minor league contract, so he goes down to Charlotte, and you'll figure out how things look down there, and hopefully he finds his way back up to the major leagues and can be of value and a help to them. But it's it's weird that they ended up doing that, and I'm sure that's the first of many type of moves that they're going to make, right? It'd be great to say that's the answer.
What are you suggesting they do today? Because I figure that they're going to do it after we get off the air. If you predict it, it will happen.
Oh, thank you, buddy. No, I think that I think the idea is to buy time. I think the idea is to continue to kind of win series and see where you're at. And, you know, I'm guessing they're aiming toward the draft trade deadline, draft. I've got draft in the brain. I'm guessing they're aiming closer to the trade deadline, where more teams are out of contention, and then they can make some kind of move there. I think that, you know, with all due respect to our executive producer Dustin Rhodes, he suggested Dylan Cease, and I forget who else he wanted. I think Andrew Vaughn. He wanted those guys for Chris Bryant. I don't think that's happening. I don't think that they want to trade away a guy, as Ron just said to us, who's going to be in the rotation for a number of years to come. I think that Dylan Cease is now, it's not just one game, it's two games in a row. And so you look at that, and then he's building his own personal resume. We're looking for consistency. And as we said to open the segment, it's good to see him put this Cincinnati game behind the Detroit game, because it's a step up in class. So it's like you got a racehorse, and he's won, you know, a claimer, and now he's won an allowance race, and here's hoping he gets to the Derby.
I agree with you. The Cease development is huge for the White Sox, because he seems to be heading in the direction that people have expected for a while now. They're not going to trade him. And I do think they're buying themselves some time, and it reminds you just how far maybe this pitching staff can take the White Sox. And they're not exactly in desperation mode. They're 16-12. They're in a tie for first place. They lead the American League in run differential with plus 37. They've won 7 of 10. But I will say this. While I don't think that specific trade makes a lot of sense for a lot of reasons, I do think the chorus and the questions about Chris Bryant being on the market and does it make sense for the White Sox will continue to have be the source of conversation here in Chicago. I mean, our guy Gordon Whitmire was the latest to give voice to it on NBCSportsChicago.com. He says this is the move the Sox have to make if they are serious about World Series aspirations. You can see why he would come to that conclusion because of the contractual status of Bryant and all the things that we've talked about. But it's easier said than done, and I don't know if – you know, the asking price is going to be something that the Sox would meet, or if they would go in that direction, or if they'll, you know, if they have to. It's at, you know, they have to buy themselves some time, see where they are in about a month.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that listen, while that sounds great, I mean, who wouldn't want to have Chris Bryant on their team, the Cubs? I think that it's fascinating to consider what that would entail, what kind of a trade that would be. And again, I don't think if you're actually in contention and you feel you are, I don't think you give up any of your starting pitching. The guys right now, I think you're talking Jimmy Lambert and
Stever.
Jonathan Stever. Yeah, you're talking about guys.
Jared Kelly. That yeah. Kind of,
well,
yeah.
I don't know if I Jared Kelly still.
Oh, see, I got you. I knew. Yeah. I'm not listing there yet. Okay. Let's talk in a month. See.
All right. And you're right. In a month, I may be like willing to give away everything.
But for those guys, you can have Mariznick. You can't have Bryant. That's a Mariznick. Okay.
In all seriousness, define
when you are a challenge. I think even without if Aloy doesn't play a game this year, and if Robert doesn't play another game this season, I still believe the White Sox win this division, or worst case, are a wild card team.
No doubt.
But that doesn't mean you're going to play for the pennant, and that doesn't mean you're going to play for the World Series. I believe.
Disagree totally.
Okay,
Disagree totally.
That's the point of the exercise. I believe that if you traded for Chris Bryant, and the Cubs know that Chris Bryant is the type of player that could propel a team like the White Sox to an AL pennant and a berth in the World Series, you have to be willing to depart with guys that are going to hopefully help you win in the future. He's not a guy that's going to help them contend. He's a guy that propels you. The team's already contending. This team contends without a Chris Bryant.
Dustin, if this team in the White Sox is winning that division and contending for a playoff spot in October, it's because Dylan Cease and Andrew Vaughn are guys who were part of that process. You don't trade them. You're not getting rid of those guys.
Yeah, but I don't think Dylan Cease and Andrew Vaughn win you a pennant. And they definitely don't win you a World Series. And I think Chris Bryant with that group does. Got to remember, you know, there's no guarantee you get back.
Dustin,
see the Cubs.
Dustin, you don't. I mean, Chris Bryant is a rental player. Okay, he's not.
How bad does Jerry want to win? How bad does he want to do it?
Not bad enough to set the Cubs up for life. Are you out of your mind?
Yes, but yeah, that's another question.
All right, we need to depart from this segment and get to the pick six. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What was the bigger surprise and the bigger loss for the Cubs? Jake Arrieta going on the injured list with a right thumb abrasion, or Nico Hoerner joining him with a forearm strain? Do you feel sorry for Dan Winkler, whose trip to the IL with a tricep strain will largely be ignored?
That's pretty mean. That's kind of funny, too. Jake Arrieta is the bigger loss, no question about it. Jake Arrieta has been a very important piece of the rotation, and you need your starting pitching because you're not getting it in other spots. So losing him for a run in the rotation is not good. I didn't know he had an abrasion on his right thumb. I was concerned when I heard that. I think Nico Hoerner's going to be okay. Obviously, he's given them a real lift since he's come up, but with all due respect, I think that Jake is the bigger issue. And Horner's got a longer career and all the rest of it, so here's hoping he's okay and is back. It didn't seem like it was that kind of injury that was going to keep him out long term, but he'll take a break and he'll be fine. Dan Winkler, yeah, pity that people aren't even going to sit up and take notice.
Why do you hate Dan Winkler? What do you have against that guy? Come on. That's
I love
me.
Henry. I love his dad.
I know. He was great. I love the font. Hey. You know, he was great. You know, I'm very curious. For some strange reason, I'm intrigued with this Jake Arrieta injury. I want to know how he cut his thumb. Was it lifting weights? Was it, twisting off a bottle cap when he thought it was, not a twist off? I want to know why. I want to know more. And, of course, I'm triggered by Nico Horner going on the injured list. He was just starting to hit like many of us expected him to hit. So I don't want to see him set back. This is bad news for everybody. And Dan who on the disabled list?
That's mean. Mean.
A pick six to end the half.
The Cubs called up Keegan Thompson to pitch the second game of the doubleheader, and Thompson, a third-round pick from 2017, left with two outs in the fourth inning of a scoreless game with a runner on second. Did Thompson show enough to deserve another start? Is turning to a young prospect like Thompson to start against the Dodgers a sign of progress or desperation?
I think a little bit of both. I think there's a little bit of desperation there. And there's a small, tiny bit of progress as well. Let's face it, whenever you see the Cubs promote and start a player or a pitcher that they drafted and developed, it's news. It's a headline. And so when Keegan Thompson, who was the third-round pick in 2017, gets the nod against the Dodgers, the defending World Series champions, you're curious and you are hopeful if you're a Cubs fan. And the way that he responded, it makes you even more curious and more hopeful, because the right-hander from Auburn looked like he was a guy that wasn't overwhelmed by the moment. It looked like he could have gone deeper, but they didn't want him to necessarily go deeper. That's today's game. He didn't get out of the fourth, and then he seemed to get this great reaction because maybe expectations were pretty low when he didn't give up a run against the defending World Series champion. So that was a big moment that he learned how to handle. And he showed a lot of good poise and command. So let's hope it's the beginning of something. I would give him another look, especially depending on how long Jake's owie on his thumb lasts.
Oh, boy, that is that was mean. I like what I saw from Keegan Thompson, and I thought it was I thought he did a great job for himself. I think that, yes, I would say it's significantly more desperation than anything else. And we talked to Tommy Hotovy and about who would be the starter in that game. It was obvious that it was going to be a surprise, and it was a surprise. And I thought that his performance was a surprise as well. So really a good outing for him. Congratulations to him on getting that work done. That was a good thing to see. I think that it's more a sign of desperation than progress, but I think it is progress. And I think that those are the kind of players. There are guys that, Keegan Thompson might not be ready yet, but he had a good outing, and I would give him another role depending on who's out and who's getting back when. And I think it's a big start for Edbert Alzolay too, because we saw him turn a corner maybe. Again, it's always difficult to find consistency. I think Keegan Thompson, your first major league start, you're going to be really have a lot of adrenaline flowing, and you're going to be really, trying to control your nerves as much as anything else. And every pitch is going to matter, and you want to make sure that you can that level of consciousness and of excitement there. So I wouldn't mind seeing him again. I thought he did great.
A pick six of 100 yards.
The White Sox won their first game handily without Luis Robert, thanks in part to a Jose Abreu home run. But over the long haul, what players need to step up biggest in Robert's absence, or is that player not on the Sox roster yet?
I think the way that you replace losing all the players that they've lost, and they've got a few guys down now, obviously two huge elements of it, big parts of it. I think you saw it yesterday. I think it's not just Jose Abreu, but he's a big part of it. I think it's got to be Yoan Moncada. He's got to be an MVP candidate. I think Tim Anderson has got to play as well as he played yesterday. I think if you get those three guys up and running, and by the way, Yasmani Grandal, I like the idea that he can get out of a slump by taking a walk. I heard that mentioned on the broadcast. I'd like to see him get out of a slump by hitting a little bit better. But that's what you need. You need the guys that are making money the guys that you believe are great players to be that. And you know, if one wants to take a day off, the other two or three can lift them up. But you're going to need stellar seasons from all those guys to make up for losing Louis Robert, to make up for losing Eloy Jimenez. And I think that it's going to be a difficult thing to do. But if you can get those guys hot and then you get other contributions around the diamond, I think you're going to be okay. Nick Madrigal was up in the two-hole yesterday, and he struck out. There was hold on, everyone, time out. Third strikeout of the year for Nick Madrigal, and I really thought that he had walked the pitch before and he kind of checked his swing, but they called him out, so technically it's a strikeout. Just breaking news, Nick Madrigal struck out. But I think a guy like that, you know, moving him up a little bit might help you because he's a guy who gets on base and you got guys around him to knock him in.
Settle down. He was still 2-for-5. He's hitting .318. He did strike out. He's human. Nicky, two strikes.
It was unfair.
So, good answer because, you know, Jose Abreu's home run was almost a symbolic gesture. It was like, okay, we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine because I'm here. It's starting to get warmer. April is over, and that's when I start to hit. I am the reigning MVP. Let's not forget that. So he is at the top of the list, but I think Grandal has got to be better, Mully. I mean, given not only what he's making, but he can walk his way out of a slump fine, but he's got a long way to walk, and that's a lot of walks. He's hitting .123. He's got to be better. He's just got to be better. What you saw last night was how the Sox can win without Luis Robert. They can get dominant starting pitching like they are capable of getting. They can rely on their bullpen to hold leads, and they can hit just well enough to get into first place. That's where they are. That's where they should stay. And I think it will take a hellacious effort to stay there, but they're capable of doing that.
Pick six.
Were you surprised by the length of Amir Garrett's 7-game suspension for his role in a benches-clearing incident against the Cubs? Is that a lot for a reliever? What about Javier Baez being fined? Appropriate? Not enough? More than deserved?
Javi being fined's fine. You know, you pay the money. He got caught on camera flipping off Amir Garrett. I'm tired of Amir Garrett. I am so sick of seeing him, you know, taunt opponents and just, okay, he got what he deserved. It was a little longer than I thought. So I guess if I'm being honest, I was surprised MLB actually, you know, threw the hammer down. But he deserved every bit of it. If you're going to act like a clown like that, you have to take what's coming.
Amir Garrett received a Lifetime Achievement Award, okay? That 7-game suspension wasn't just about the celebration. It was about everybody coming out, and he's pretending to run at him. He's just – he has this clown show down pat, you know? Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Yeah, hey, Amir Garrett's in town. He's going to get out there, and he's going to do his whole routine, and everybody's going to clear the benches. That's what that was about. It was about – a guy that is just relentless in his activity in that manner, and you never know what he's going to actually charge at someone and throw a punch. He's just whacked out, and I think that was again career achievement awards. 7 games is a lot. I don't think it would have been 7 games for any other pitcher. I think if Justin Steele had gotten confused about what out it was, and he started celebrating the way he did after he managed to get out of the inning, I think that might have upset someone, and maybe that would – I don't think he'd get 7 games is my point. I think that Amir Garrett has earned it, and he's kind of a goof, and Baez has a history with him, so it was easy to go after him and get a few more dollars for charity or whatever they do with it. So I 7 games – Maybe that wakes him up a little bit, Amir Garrett, but I got a feeling he'll be suspended again. And as far as Javi is concerned, hopefully his next contract allows him to not worry about these kind of fines.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
The Bears signed wide receiver Damier Bird, who had a career-high 47 catches for 604 yards. Last year with the Patriots, Bird joins Marquise Goodwin and rookie Daz Newsome in the Bears' revamped receiving corps. What role do you see Bird playing, and who does his signing affect most?
You know, to be honest with you, it might affect Daz Newsome quite a bit because Bird's also a return guy, so you know it's either Daz Newsome or who was the rookie running back Gilbert that they drafted as well. So I think that it's more likely that it's going to affect playing time with a rookie. If he's on the field, you get a receiver that can also do some returning. I find it fascinating. I think that if Anthony Miller didn't know that he's in trouble, he does now. If Javon Wims doesn't realize that that the bell is tolling, he does now. If Calvin Ridley's brother, I can't even remember his name.
Riley Ridley.
I know. I was just calling him Calvin Ridley's brother as an insult. I was going to say I don't know his name because I haven't seen him. If he can't get on the field, then I don't think he makes the club. So I think that they're redoing their receiving core right in front of our eyes, and I think they're doing the right thing. I just think it's weird that they haven't done anything with any of those guys.
Damier Bird, he professionalizes the Bears receiving core just the way that Marquise Goodwin does. And not to a lesser degree, you don't draft a rookie in the fifth round like Daz Newsom to professionalize your wide receiving core. But I think those three guys will help answer some of the questions or address some of the problems that Anthony Miller, Javon Wims, and maybe Riley Ridley to a lesser degree created. Those guys were talent wasn't the reason they were falling short. There were bad assignments, the route running, whatever it was sloppy. So you get a guy like Bird who's coming from the Patriots, led them in receiving. You get a guy like Goodwin who has a history, and Newsom fits in there probably as a slot guy. We'll see what he has. He's a rookie, you just don't know. But definitely, I think, a smart signing, economic signing, and one of these players who will maybe not be great, but he will play a role because he can run.
Pick six! Wow!
Among the five teams that drafted a quarterback in the first round of the draft, which player is most likely to hold off a challenge to his starting status and have a great year? Jacksonville's Gardner Minshew, whoever the Jets have after the Sam Darnold trade, San Francisco's Jimmy Garoppolo, the Bears' Andy Dalton, or New England's Cam Newton?
That says it all. You can't even come up with a name with the Jets because they don't really have anybody besides Zach Wilson. I think that's going to be something that it makes a lot of sense. This is Jimmy G, the answer to this question, because he is most likely to be in command of that offense. He's a veteran coming back. The biggest problem for him has been health. It's not been as much efficiency. He can run an NFL offense, and I don't know what Cam Newton has left, but I think that easily that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to hold off Trey Lance, who might not be ready yet. The other guys, just a matter of time.
I think Jimmy G could have a good year. I think that it's all health related, as you say. I think Cam Newton could be healthy this year, and he was okay before he had COVID. So that's a guy that I would put second. Then I'd go with Andy Dalton, and that's not a strong backing. It's just that I don't think that Gardner Minshew is going to see the field because Trevor Lawrence is going to start from day one. And then at last, I'll go with whoever's left in New York after Sam Darnold, because they got rid of a bunch of players, and I got a feeling that they don't have anybody to really line up if Zach Wilson isn't the guy. So I think the first two picks in the draft are going to start. I think the third pick in the draft might not even see the field this year, depending on injury. I think that the Bears guy could be coming in, maybe not initially, but pretty soon. And I think that the 15th pick may not get on the field as quickly as we thought he might. But who knows? We'll see how much in love Bill Belichick is with a Mac Jones, because he shares the same philosophy and thought process as his old defensive coordinator, who's now the head coach at Alabama. So we'll see how this whole thing unfolds. But I think that a couple of those guys don't see the field, and the rest do. We're going to bring in Bruce Levine next. We'll talk to Bruce. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
I wonder if you understand the overindulgence of people like myself and some fans about the early season slump.
I don't know how to control the outside narrative. Tell people to hold tight, I guess. You'll find a way on the radio, I know.
It's just me. I'm speaking for me alone.
Okay. Well, then no comment.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host alongside our own David Hall.
We've got a lot of baseball conversation to cover in the next 2 hours. How are you doing this morning, buddy?
Great being with you like we are every Saturday, 52 weeks out of the year, talking baseball on Inside the Clubhouse.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
With Mully and Hall on 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Bruce Levine is the Score's baseball expert, brought to you by Alpamonte Nissan. Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apnissan.com. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Morning, Bruce.
Good morning, guys. Who do you want to talk about, the first-place Chicago White Sox or the zooming, in a good way, Chicago Cubs with the two in a row?
Well, I mean, the doubleheader sweep might have been as unlikely as anything we've talked about. I think with Kershaw and Bauer on the bump, you thought that's going to be a hard day for the Cubs. Chasing Clayton Kershaw in the first inning was extraordinary. It hasn't happened to him in his career, and threw the most pitches in his career and the whole bit. So I think we start with the Cubs and you know, we're always looking for these tipping points. Is that the one? Is that the one that puts them, it kind of rights the ship and puts them in a good place? Just a doubleheader sweep against the Dodgers, something you should be proud of.
Well, there are a couple things that really stand out. Obviously, when your number one pitcher, Kyle Hendricks, gets straightened out against the world champions, that is a significant game for him. It's two very good ones out of the last three. He got bombed twice against Atlanta, but this was significant for the team. The morale also for the bullpen to have a day and a half off so that they could be ready for that second game. And the other thing is, you know, seeing guys like Steele and Thompson, farm system pitchers, come through and have an impact on a win is a really big deal for Hoyer and the Chicago Cub organization. It's only a small sample size of what they're expecting, and you can't hang your hat on that, but those are really important situations that occurred in this doubleheader win.
And Bruce, with the White Sox, it was an important game for them, first one without Luis Robert. I felt like Tony La Russa set the tone before the game with what he had to say and how the Sox planned to address this and get over this adversity. And then Dylan Cease goes out and pitches another gem, second in a row. What's Cease doing differently now that he wasn't earlier, and do you think he finally has conquered this consistency issue?
Yeah, you know what, David, after his last start, two starts ago, he just said that he was going to go back mentally to where he was at and not be as worried about his mechanics. Just be Dylan Cease again. And it sounds simplistic. There's nothing to really, you know, say that he's done differently other than mechanically, you know, clean it up. You know, the 11 strikeouts, you know, not walking people. We can talk about his hitting for two or three hours if you want. But this is a guy that we've always seen. He had tremendous stuff since he was traded to the White Sox from the Cubs in 2017 in that huge deal that brought Jimenez over and sent Jose Quintana to the Cubs. This is what they've expected. This is what, honestly, the Chicago Cubs expected of Dylan Cease way back when they signed him 7 years ago. So this is coming of age for him. Has he cleared all the hurdles? I don't know, but 98 up and you know, a nasty slider that is mostly unhittable. That's going to get you a lot of wins in Major League Baseball.
How about the hits? I mean, that was pretty hilarious, really, to see him get three hits in a game and all the fanfare that went with it, Bruce. You know, they got to pick it up offensively. I didn't know the pitching staff would be the group to do it.
Well, the thing is now, will Cease be playing center field?
Yeah, there we go.
Look, there's a pitcher in Los Angeles that pitches every 5 days and hits all the rest. I think the White Sox could use a guy like that too. But in all seriousness, you know, the White Sox are going to be out there looking for outfield help. They signed Brian Goodwin, who's a journeyman outfielder and had been in their organization initially and has been around as fortification, but I don't think Goodwin's going to be the answer for the White Sox. They're going to have to go internally right now with Garcia, you know, Hamilton, and see what Rick Hahn and the front office can pull off over the next month or so. I don't think there's any panic with the White Sox, just because what you see on the mound every day, okay? You have the makings of the best rotation in baseball. You have the makings of the best bullpen in baseball. They haven't been there yet, the bullpen, but you see signs of that coming around. So from all of that, I don't think there's that need to go out there and trade away some of the best players in your organization just to react to Robert going down right now.
Bruce, quickly, do we know what Arrieta did to his thumb and how long that will linger?
Yeah, that's been going on for three starts, and it was a little area that opened up, probably from the seat using the seams. Normally it's a blister. This was not. It was just a little opening, and he thought he had it under control, and it got worse. So they're very hopeful that after the 10 days coming off on the 13th, that he will be ready to go.
Great stuff, Bruce. Appreciate your time, buddy.
Thank you,
Bruce.
All
right, guys, have a great day.
You too.
That is our guy, Bruce Levine. Fascinating. What are your thoughts? 312-644-6767. We finally have the thumb thing figured out. It's funny that Bruce mentioned the White Sox signing a backup in Brian Goodwin. You know, surely he's better than Nick Williams, right? So, I mean, I don't know why we're fretting over it. He will help more than you got from one outfielder already.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.